How does Cam Newton's walking boot affect the way you should draft your Panthers? What's the one thing to avoid when you're drafting your FFPC teams this season? And we make an exciting announcement about the 2019 FFPC Ascendant. We are broadcasting live here at the Horseshoe Casino as we join you from the 2019 Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship live event. We've got a great show for you. Dave Gerzak is here. I'm Eric Balkman. Stick around. Your high-stakes fantasy football hour starts now.
Your hands, everybody. You got what it takes, 'cause I'm KRX and I'm on the mic and premieres on the break.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now listening to the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. It's the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for football analysis from the best fantasy players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak.
With the master rhymer, that's the lead behind a video rapper, you know the top rhymer.
Hey, thanks so much, Ron. I'm giving you a shout-out from Louisville here as you are hanging out, making sure everything runs properly back in the Appleton, Wisconsin studio. Greetings and salutations to the rest of you, all you Balkaholics and Gerzak and addicts. Welcome to the latest episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. I am your slightly above-average host, Eric Balkman, and my co-host is the patron saint of fantasy football, the Dizzle, Dave Gerzak. Coming up on tonight's show, Dave and I actually have a surprise announcement regarding the 2019 FFPC Assembly. It before we sign off, and then Kurt Awe and I will attempt to go back to back to back in defending our title in the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship auction. Shout out to the chat room right now. Feel free to post any questions you all might have with us in there. If you want to connect with us on Twitter, at HSFFOR, at Eric Balkman, at David Gerzak, Facebook.com/HSFFOR, 347-426-3682, 347-GAMEOVA, and HighStakesFantasyFootball@gmail.com is where to reach us. Rob doing double duty tonight as Bryce is busy commissioning, so he is still my best friend. He's still the audio engineer, but he has commissioned Bryce tonight. And then, of course, our mutual friend Rob and producer doing everything that needs to be done for fantasy feedback, as well as the entire show tonight. Big day today in the FFPC as for the first time in the FFPC's history, the main event started today, August 23rd. Very exciting stuff. They went off. They're going off again right now. We'll have more going off tonight. Jump in now. You can average your cost down if you already have a team. Get another one for $1,500. It's $350 off each additional team. So you want to take advantage of that. And certainly tonight, there is a spot open, actually several spots open, 10 of them to be exact, going off at a special 11 o'clock Eastern time tonight. You could win $500,000 tonight. You don't know, and you won't know unless you try and find out by drafting at that 11 o'clock main event slot tonight. Dynasty startups, of course, also forming at MyFFPC.com. Best ball, superflex, and double ups always available at MyFFPC.com as well. Dave, welcome in. We are in Louisville once again for I don't know how many years in a row we've done this podcast here. It's been, I don't know, I feel like six or seven that you and I have done this show together, but you've been drafting down here for the better part of a decade or maybe more than a decade.
Yeah, I think it's been like 12 years, Balkan. I'm really excited. It's awesome to be here. I got here one day ahead of you guys. And, I'm really well rested. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, and you've who have you hung out with so far? Danny Mueller, John Duckworth, Farrell Elliott. I've obviously run into Jesse Bumstead. I saw a former Kentucky main event champ, Mark Stolina, said hi to him. Actually, back-to-back Kentucky champs, Jay Carey, Mike Fox, had a conversation before he went on the air with them. Travis Cox, I talked to him as well. So, hey, the gang's all here. Let's get to it tonight.
You hung out with Duckworth already tonight, too.
That's what I said. I did not, but I know you did.
Yeah.
So, awesome. Football guys, Roto World, and Robert responsible for tonight's rundown. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport has reported that Cam Newton's injury, his sprained foot, does not appear to be serious. David J. Chow, who is a doctor, analyzed the injury right after it happened in the Athletic's Jordan Rodriguez, said that the injury is being characterized as a sprain. If you missed it last night, Cam Newton left the Carolina locker room after the game in a walking boot and had x-rays this morning.
Was he wearing one of those goofy suits and weird
purple? I don't know if they
feathers sticking out of it.
Can you fit one of those suits over a walking boot? I don't know if you can. That's the issue, yeah. So this is a good point, too, that I think Roto-World had it, that walking boot, it seems really bad, Dave, but sometimes that's just to ensure that the foot doesn't swell up on the way home.
Right.
They are cautiously optimistic that Cam Newton is going to be ready for week one. Are you cautiously optimistic when you're drafting players like Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, and Curtis Samuel, knowing what we know right now?
Yeah, I feel all right drafting those guys. It should be fine. I think he's going to be all right, and yeah, I feel totally okay with that.
So you're not knocking these guys at all based on this injury?
I'm not.
Okay, all right. I think that's sort of my opinion on this as well. This could be all ado about nothing, or much ado about nothing, and we could look back on this as maybe, you know, in Kentucky or where they're drafting the FFPC main events, maybe you get a good deal on DJ Moore. Maybe you get a good deal on Curtis Samuel and look back on it like, man, it's a good thing that Newton injury news came out. Otherwise, you know, we wouldn't be enjoying the success in the main event and having a chance to go for this $500,000 because we got that discount on him when we drafted preseason week three. Moving on, Marquise Brown caught all three of his targets for just 17 yards in the Ravens' third preseason game yesterday. He also lost 4 yards on a rushing attempt. The Ravens made it pretty clear that they were trying to get the ball to Marquise Brown to see what he can do, but his longest game was just for 7 yards. Now, if you remember, this was his first time playing in a game since he was selected with the 25th overall pick back in April by Baltimore. Most of the offseason, he was out recovering from a Lisfranc surgery on his foot, which I guess all Lisfranc surgeries are. And then last night, he did not have any setbacks, which is good. He ran with the starters opposite fellow rookie Miles Boykin, and Marquise Brown is a guy that is basically not even really being selected. I mean, he's free, essentially. When's the last time a guy nicknamed Hollywood has been free in FFPC drafts? But that's basically where we're at right now. And you look at where Marquise Brown is going as far as FFPC Classic drafts over the last couple of days, they've not been selected until the 18th round. And at that point, you know, we always say this, for a guy that has only, I don't even know if he's been on this, I think he's been on this show once, Baker Boy, Joe Del Zanero, we reference a lot of his soothsayings and everything that he has brought to the table over the years when it comes to fantasy football philosophy. And one of his things is always like, there's no such thing as a bad pick after the 10th round. Do you want to take Marquise Brown in the 18th? Good on you. I don't think there's any issue with that whatsoever. I think a lot of smart people will be doing that. And I might even be one of those people this weekend. And I don't even like Marquise Brown all that much.
But they want the starters, which is a pretty telling sign. They really want to get him the ball. And, you know, I look back and it's like, okay, what are the possible outcomes for him? He's a smallish guy, but he's super talented, super productive in college. I think, you know, there's one person that you're always talking about the super optimum best case scenario. Odell Beckham is a player that I avoided actually as a rookie because of these injury issues. And he was a pretty highly touted first round pick as well. And he went super late in drafts because of these injuries he was having in the preseason. And he was awesome. So I think there is always that outcome. There is always that possibility. And he's so inexpensive that he's definitely worth a dart throw ball.
Nice one. I know Josh McAtee, you like that. Hey, the other thing that I should bring up is and Ryan Poole actually will like that as well. When's the last time we saw a team's starting receivers in the NFL not going until the 18th round? Because that is where Miles Boykin and Marquise Brown are both going. Marquise Brown at the 18.01, Miles Boykin at the 18.07. And
that would be an interesting best ball pick, like the 17-12, 18-01 to take them both.
Would you also take Lamar Jackson, too, before that and set yourself up for drafting?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you don't really know if you're going to get all three. But, yeah, I love Lamar Jackson this year. You don't even need those other guys.
And, okay, so let's reverse apply the Kurt Warner theorem here, where we talked about where if Anquan Boldin and Larry Fitzgerald are being drafted in the second and third rounds, respectively, why is Kurt Warner being drafted in the 10th? If Lamar Jackson's being drafted, and I'm going to bring up his ADP right now.
He's a running quarterback. So
okay. All right. Then I don't need to go any further for it because you already answered it. All right. So moving on here to Jordan Reed. He was forced from last night's game against the Falcons with a possible concussion. If you remember, Jordan Reed already has 6 concussions to his name over the course of his football career. And if he does have a 7th, now you're talking about maybe not playing in the season opener, which is 16 days from now. He's had 6 in his career. Yeah, this would be his 7th if he is diagnosed with it.
Yeah, if you have that many DUIs, they throw you in jail for like 5 years. Just in Wisconsin, then you get like one night in jail.
Yeah, and a parade thrown for you with plenty of old fashions being absurd. But you look at Jordan Reed, he's going so late in drafts. Nobody's drafting him as a starter, Dave. And I feel like if he misses week one, you know, so be it. 11th round pick in FFPC classic drafts. Now, that's tight end premium scoring, obviously, so that's a bigger deal. But you have Jordan Reed going there. I guess I'd knock him a little bit. But
kind of have to.
I'll tell you what, maybe I will knock him a lot because you know who's going after him? Jack Doyle and Chris Herndon. I like both those guys better. And I know Herndon's already missing the first two games of the season. I still like
it. Four, is it two?
It's two.
Okay.
Herndon and Doyle, I would rather have than Jordan Reed. Jimmy Graham, I think I might rather have than Jordan Reed.
I think I'd rather have Jordan Reed than Doyle myself.
Really? Because of Ebron being there? Or because of Andrew Luck?
Reed's like the only game in town as far as receivers go. No one else is like an accomplished receiver on that team.
That's a good point. Washington could be down quite a bit, although their defense is pretty good this year, so we'll see. Maybe they just run it hard with Geis and Peterson and hope for the best on defense and you're in a bunch of low-scoring games. That's certainly within the realm of possibility as well. But, yeah, Jordan Reed, I'm going to knock a little bit just based on who is going behind him. Sony Michel rushed 10 times for 36 yards in the Patriots' third preseason game against the Panthers last night. He also, in addition to that, had two long runs, including one for 30 yards that was brought back by a holding, or that were brought back by holding penalties. He looked very good last night and very shifty, Dave. Sony Michel also was being counted on when the Patriots are in the goal line territory. James Devlin obviously did punch that one in from the 1 yard line on his only carry last night. But this is a guy that you and I were both very nervous about at the start of the season, at the start of the drafting process, you know, with his knee and everything. But everything looks good, and Damian Harris got a little banged up last night. He's going off the board right now in FFPC. This is not best balls. This is classics, similar to the Football Guys Players Championship. Till the end of the fourth round. I mean, we're not going to get in the ascendant talk right now, but Michelle is a guy, after a performance like this, that might have leapfrogged a bunch of guys given what we saw in the preseason for him last night, and given that his knee looks pretty good right now, Dave.
Yeah, you know, he's the person I have not been really targeting at all in drafts, and, I might still find it tough to take him because he's not really a big factor in the receiving game necessarily with James White there, so, you know, they might start using him a little bit more. I think I'm a little bit... I'd anticipate him up at least a half round, maybe more, and I think I'm still kind of off him a little bit, even though I think he's a talented player. But he's got the injury history to worry about, James White to worry about, great offense, but I don't know, I might still be passing.
Let's get into some of the stuff that is, I don't want to say late-breaking, but stuff that's coming off the newswire right now. Stephen Jones, the executive vice president for the Cowboys, says he's very optimistic that the Dallas will get a deal done with Ezekiel Elliott before the start of the season. He also said no deal is imminent. Right now, the Cowboys face the Giants on September 8th. Ed Werder had reported earlier this week that the Cowboys had offered Elliott an extension that would make him the second highest paid running back in the league behind Todd Gurley. And apparently Ezekiel Elliott is back in Mexico training with Marshall Faulk right now. So here's the $1 million question, Dave. How are you draft? How are you handling Ezekiel Elliott? Are you letting somebody else take him in the top five? Is this in the first round where you're end the slide for Elliott? How do you handle a guy like him? And then also, how do you handle a guy like Tony Pollard who's been flying up FFPC boards?
I'll answer the Pollard part first because he's been really moving up into like the 8th, 9th round and stuff like that. I feel like that's way too early for him given the fact that it's highly likely that Elliott does come back. I put the odds of Elliott getting back in time for the season start at like 80%. Oh, and Even if that doesn't happen, I would say the odds of him being back by week 4 and starting and all that, like 95%.
All right.
So to me, Pollard at that point is like a 15, 16th round pick, which is where he was going before. He's a good backup and everything like that. He's a good handcuff.
So Pollard will probably not be on many of your teams this weekend. I get that.
No, probably not this weekend if he's going the 8th, 9th, 10th round. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm with you on that. But Elliott, at this point, if you're that sure in him coming back, how much do you knock him out of the top four or the top five, given that he might miss some action?
At this point, I'd still entertain David Johnson or him. That's kind of, I would maybe consider David Johnson over him. Other than that, I'm still kind of keeping him right in that range.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
What about you?
I will take the big...
Sorry to interrupt, but because of how Kentucky is, you kind of have the ability to be in the mix for Elliott or not. You can say, I'm going to be a 1-2-3 pick and spend the money, or I'm going to go to the back end and not have that choice.
I know for sure that there's five players I would take ahead of Elliott, for sure.
All right, so the big, you know, the so-called, so you have, you know, Kamara,
yep.
Barkley,
yes.
CMC,
yep.
David Johnson,
yep.
I'm guessing. I guess I'm wondering about the fifth.
Hopkins. I would take Hopkins ahead of him as well. Then when you get talking about the Travis Kelce, Devontae Adams area, then it gets a little dicey.
See, but I kind of find that interesting in that, you know, Hopkins is the so-called bonus, you know, the so-called number one, you know, receiver, bar none, right? But when you look at the various projections, whether it's Draft Sharks or Football Guys or Mastermind or whomever, you know, what separates Hopkins between those guys is like, you know, 10, 20, like that. I know Draft Sharks has two players with Hopkins as receivers, and those guys are at the end of the first round. So I just find it interesting. A little bit that people, including yourself, I guess, would say that, okay, I'll take Hopkins. I wouldn't take Julio or Beckham or
right.
Devontae Adams or whomever, you know.
Here, I guess here's the separating factor for me, what makes Hopkins more desirable than those other guys and what puts him a notch above. This is his seventh season in the NFL, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Take a guess at how many games he's missed in his career.
Zero?
One.
Oh, wow.
Missed one NFL game. Now, obviously, that might be the kiss of death, and he does something this year, and you can all blame me for it, but the fact of the matter is Julio's on the wrong side of 30. Odell Beckham is still registering on the spectrum in the Flake scale.
He is still there.
Devontae Adams is one head injury from potentially having his career over with some of the nasty concussions he's had. And it's not like I'm writing Adams off completely, because it does get a little interesting with him there. I still might take Adams over Elliott. But I don't know. I guess my thing is I tend to be a little bit more risk-averse, you know, in the first round, and then I get riskier after that.
Sure.
And so I don't –
kind of like with drinking.
Yeah. That's a great point. Guilty as charged. Ezekiel Elliott is probably not going to be on many of my teams this weekend. Let's see what else we can talk about in Dallas. Dave, how about Amari Cooper? Because Stephen Jones said that his foot injury is more of a muscle strain. This is adding to the litany of the mystery of Amari Cooper's foot. We've heard muscle strain now. We've heard plantar fasciitis. We've heard Ian Rappaport call it a strained heel. I think that you are the Amari Cooper salesman to me, because whatever you say, I tend to kind of just go along with pretty easily. I was vehemently against him. You said, why are you so against him? This is what he's done in his career. Look what he did in Dallas. I said, you're right. I was wrong. I shifted my point. And then I said last week, you know, this heel thing has me a little concerned. And you're like, I'm totally off him, Balky. What are you talking about? And so now I think I am totally off him as well. And the fact of the matter is, you look at where Amari Cooper is going in drafts right now, Dave, and you have to take him at the, well, on average, I should say, you don't have to take him there, at the 311. Julian Edelman to me is a little bit more attractive there. Chris Godwin, I don't know if I could pull the trigger on Chris Godwin over Amari Cooper, but Brandon Cooks I could.
It is interesting when you get down to that level. I feel like there is a demarcation line actually below Cooper, and I personally do think that Cooks and Edelman and even Godwin are below it.
I mean, FFPC drafters would agree with you on that.
Yeah, I kind of agree with them then in that case. I feel like he kind of dropped to the bottom of that tier, the T.Y. Hilton, Thielen, Diggs, whoever else is next.
Hilton, Diggs, Thielen, Keenan Allen.
I think you move up.
Then you get to the Antonio Flake Brown and Mike Evans. Bourbon City Ballers chiming in the chat, Dave. He says, well, go Gallup then. And you look at Michael Gallup, where he's going in drafts, 11:03. Now, this is a guy that I was not on at all this year, and I feel like most people liked him more than I did. And now I'm actually a little surprised that he's still going in the 11th round, because if you're not a believer in Cooper and his injury, then Michael Gallup is the type of guy that you should be going after higher, but he's still going in the double-digit rounds.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big Michael Gallup fan. He had 33 receptions for 507 yards and 2 touchdowns last year. Those rookie stats are just not in the neighborhood of what, to me, signals a possible breakout. I need a little bit more than that. And generally speaking, that's kind of what it bears out. If you're not hitting 600, 700, 800 yards your rookie year and more than 2 touchdowns, you're not that likely to break out. So I'm a little bit concerned about Gallup's talent. I was concerned about his talent coming in the NFL as well, and that hasn't changed.
Jacoby Brissett, it was announced, it wasn't announced by Zach Kiefer, but Zach Kiefer on Twitter reported that Jacoby Brissett will not play in the preseason game against the Bears tomorrow.
That's actually really interesting.
Okay, tell us why that's interesting, because I think you and I are good. We're in agreement here.
That means that he's going to start week one. to me because Luck's not going to be ready, and they're holding out the starter for week one and week three because they just can't risk another injury. That's my opinion.
I totally agree. I think that's to me it's kind of goes without saying almost. But now how do you handle guys like T.Y. Hilton, Jack Doyle, Eric Ebron, Marlon Mack?
I hope that they fall. I mean, and then if they fall, you know, it's not like Jacoby Brissett is getting any worse. He's only getting better, and he's had NFL experience.
In my opinion, I'm going to interrupt you just for a second.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I think he's one of the best backup quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, he's probably honestly like the 24th best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah,
that's
actually a great point. You talk about like Paris Campbell, Devin Funchess. Not that you were on Funchess, but you're not even really lowering these guys in your rankings at all.
I'm not actually in the Taylor Young Memorial League. The only FFPC draft I'm doing is for charity. I took T.Y. Hilton in the third round, and I recently took Funchess. Actually, I don't know where it was, the 15th or something like that. Just because it's the basketball, so why not? You know, get both of those.
Sure.
Guys and,
yeah.
Just see what happens. I didn't get Luck, and that was on purpose. I took Big Murray and Lamar Jackson actually.
Let me just briefly talk about the Colts running backs here for a second, as long as I'm on the subject. Who's a better value for you right now? Marlon Mack at the 310, Dave, or Nyheim Hines, who's going at the 1203?
I would take Hines. I'm not really interested in Mack in that third round because I'll probably be looking at receivers there. And, you know, for like a zero RB team, I think Hines is a really nice, a fine choice, actually.
I totally agree. He had 63 catches last year. Not a lot of people know that. And, you know, I'm looking up the numbers for him just to corroborate my thoughts. Marlon Mack has had 38 catches in 2 years. That does not strike me as somebody that I'm very excited about drafting in the third round.
Yeah, he's a first and second down back pretty much only. I mean, he has just a few catches.
And he's dynamic. He just, you know, it's just...
Yeah, they have defined roles for both of them, and I don't think that's going to go away.
Speaking of defined roles, Ronald Jones returned to practice this week after he hurt his knee in the second preseason game for Tampa on the opening kick. Kickoff against Miami. He did stay in the game, but he had some swelling over the next couple of days.
That's,
he managed it.
That's dipshit coaching. They put a starting running back in on kickoff.
Or did they?
Well, or yeah, even a backup, or whatever.
Yeah.
Why is it Dare Ungunlie going to be the starter?
Proud of Wisconsin, baby. I remember.
He's been drafted now, Bob.
He is.
He's a player that we need to look at, actually. He's been playing really well.
You know, okay, so Dare Ogunbowale is a guy that played for the Badgers, and I watched him up close. I watched him on TV. But I saw a lot of Badgers games over the course of his career. And I'll say this about Ogunbowale. I was never excited to see him on the field because he was always sort of the second banana. He was never like the Wisconsin Badgers running back. But I'll tell you what, man, he did great when he was out there. He didn't drop very many passes. He got first downs. He made plays. Like he did. He's a workman-like running back. And now you have him and Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones is being left in the dust there. It seems like that. This is a guy. Here's the thing. I think Peyton Barber. I think Ronald Jones has shown us who he is. He's a guy that didn't catch passes at USC. He's not catching passes in the pros. He had many an opportunity last year, failed to take advantage of it. Now he's dinged up this year. I mean, at what point do you want to keep giving this guy chances on your fantasy team? And I get that he is, extraordinarily cheap this year, considering where he went last year. Dave, you don't have to take him until the 12th round now. But still, I mean, it's just like, for me to take him there, I'm expecting basically nothing. And whatever I get from him, that's great. But I'm much more likely to take Peyton Barber, who's going in the 9th round right now.
I don't really agree with you on that.
All right. Can you tell us, is it because of the Ogunbowale factor going in the 20th?
No, I just don't think, you know, Barber had a whole season to show us what he could do. And he's just not a special player, not that great. Rojo, he's a heck of a back. He's a good talent. I still believe in his talent. He was fantastic in college. He had a bad rookie season. They're trying to give him confidence. And he looked pretty decent in some of the games that he played. So at that spot, I think I'm still interested in Rojo. And
okay.
I get that he didn't catch passes in college, and maybe he won't in the pros. I can't say I'm a huge believer necessarily, but in the 12th round, I'm a buyer.
He actually is going right below Nyheim Hines. Let's play quick Would You Rather here. Would you rather have Ronald Jones or Damian Harris?
I'll take Ronald Jones.
I would take Harris. Ronald Jones or Jerick McKinnon?
I wouldn't take Jerick McKinnon anymore.
I'm just saying that because I'm going down the ADP. I totally agree. Ronald Jones or Devin Singletary?
Love Jones.
I'm going to take Singletary. Ronald Jones.
So just let me actually unpack two of your.
Okay, go ahead. Yep.
So you're going to take Damien Harris, a player that in their preseason game, Rex Burkhead and Sony Michel and James White all got action with the first team. The guy you just mentioned didn't get any action at all with the first team. He's the fourth running back on the team. So you're taking him over a possible starter in Tampa Bay.
Right.
And then Devin Singletary, who has to deal with the 18 to 25-year-old veteran Frank Gore and Shady McCoy, at least at this point, unless he gets cut or whatever, he still has to beat those two guys up. I just don't buy that. I think that's a terrible decision on your part.
That's fine. That's fine. And now let me explain this a little bit here. Number one, you already mentioned the McCoy thing. I'm not sure if he gets cut. I'm not sure, quite frankly, at the end of the season with Buffalo. So we've already seen Singletary get a ton of run with the first team starters in Buffalo in the preseason. And Frank Gore is just sort of like a guy there. In the 12th round, Dave, I want to bet on talent. And I am not as sold on Ronald Jones' talent as much as you are. Damien Harris, I'm excited because he needs the opportunity, and I believe he'll produce. I'm excited about Devin Singletary because I believe if he gets the opportunity, he'll produce. If Ronald Jones gets the opportunity, which he did last year, I'm not as certain that he's going to produce, which is why I'd rather have the upside of those other two guys. Now, you could be right. Hold on. I could totally miss on these guys. Like, you could be right about Jones and be right about Singletary and be right about Harris, and I might have wasted a 12th-round pick. But it's a 12th-round pick. I just like the upside better, and I think this just comes down to a fundamental discord that we have on Ronald Jones.
Well, let's take a look at Devin Singletary. Have you ever had like a balloon and you blow it up, right? Okay, so it's this big, nice, huge balloon, and you pop it, and it's a scrunched up little balloon. So if you go to mockdraftable.com, they have this thing.
So I know where you're going with this.
Devin
now.
Singletary is the scrunched up balloon.
Somebody's got a new nickname on the show.
I mean, look at this guy. I mean, he's the fourth percentile for height. 20th percentile for weight, first percentile wingspan, second percentile arm length, fourth for hand size, 19th for 40-yard dash, vertical jump is 57th, broad jump 41st, three cone 80. That's terrible. 20-yard shuttle 20th and bench press 16th. I mean, that is awful.
First of all, I think we should call him the pop balloon. Second of all, listen, I'm not going to defend his measurables because they're not good. In fact, they're quite poor. But I will say this, Dave. Doesn't really matter what you and I believe about his measurables. It matters what the coaching staff in Buffalo believes about the player, Singletary. And as long as they're giving him these opportunities with the first team, I think we need to respect that. It's the same thing we talk about, you know, freeing these players every single year. Why isn't this guy getting run? He's so great when he's out on the field and these teams never give him the opportunity to play. Well, I think we need to – whether you and I feel like we would play these guys if we were the head coach is kind of irrelevant. You have to go with the people who are in charge. And right now they like Singletary, so I think we have to be forced to open up to the possibility that Singletary could have a really good rookie year.
Yep, you're open to it. And
you are not.
Probably not.
That's fine. Should we put some fives on this? God.
Sure, I'll bet you that Ronald Jones has a better year than Devin Singletary.
All right, and we want to go by FFPC points weeks 1 to 16, correct?
Yeah, all
right. I have five on Devin Singletary. So loud. You know, we're in this. First of all, you have five on Ronald Jones. Don't make it seem like this is this anti Singletary thing.
Yeah, do you want to set the stage? I mean, you know, this is, I know it's radio, Paul. Why don't you set the stage?
Well, Dave, let's
beautiful.
Hold on. Let's literally bring the listeners behind the curtain.
Well, yes, behind the curtain. Because you know why? Because that's where we are.
We normally do. We're broadcasting live in Louisville here for the Kentucky Fantasy Football State
Championship.
Our ballroom
is very nice carpeting.
It's actually called the showroom, which I like better.
Oh, yeah.
So we're in the showroom here.
We don't have leagues here. They're called divisions.
There is a the showroom is gorgeous. I got to tell you that this place looks so much better. This is Caesar's property now, so I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but just the showroom looks so much better than it did last year. And it looked pretty baller last year. We're usually up on a stage. We could not get power. This is like the third or fourth year in a row this has happened. And for whatever reason, the horseshoe just ignored our pleas for power.
Yes, yeah.
So with about 12 or 13 minutes to go, you and I frantically reset up the entire mobile studio here at the closest power outlet I could find so we could get going. And we are set up behind this curtain behind the stage. So we're literally backstage at the KFFSC.
Yeah. And our,
Dave, who are you wearing? You look fabulous.
Yeah, our table, unfortunately, it's not like a fashion show where there's, you know, models running around in their bras and panties all over the place.
Well, not yet. Farrell says he's got some new stuff planned.
Instead, there's a bunch of cardboard sticker boxes and trophies next to us. You know, we're in the stock room.
Yeah, that is actually true.
Yeah, I can see chairs over here. There's people, employees in the back room of the Caesars property over here,
right,
walking around and occasionally looking at us like, what the hell are those guys doing?
They're like, oh, those are the people we were supposed to help earlier. Well, they figured it out. Good on them.
Yeah.
Let's get to some emails here, Dave, as we entered the second half of the program. I'm actually going to play something that I haven't played in a long time.
If you've got a question for Eric, Dave, or tonight's guest, send them a tweet at HSFFHour on Twitter. Email the show at highstakesfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Post it in the chat room during the broadcast. Hashtag your tweet with HSFF or just smack Eric in the head. That's highstakesfantasyfootball@gmail.com or at HSFFHour on Twitter.
Thrilled that you like. Also thrilled that Devin Singletary just won me $5. Pat in North Glen, Colorado. Hey, guys, which receiver do you prefer this year, Cooper Kupp or Calvin Ridley? Thanks for the email. Pat in North Glen, Colorado. Dave, before you answer that, I'll tell you where they're going to set the stage a little bit. Amari Cooper. Cooper Kupp is going at the 506 right now in FFPC drafts. Calvin Ridley is actually going at the 512. So which one do you like better?
I like Ridley.
I do too, and the fact that he's going later makes him all the more yummier. I am of the opinion that Cooper Kupp is not going to be Cooper Kupp until like week 6 or week 7.
Yeah, he's coming off the injury, and he has to. I have a little bit of an issue dealing with the Woods, Cooks, Kupp. Like all three of those players are getting drafted pretty high, so I love Cooper Kupp. I really do. He was a little bit limited athletically coming out of college. He had a really fast 3-cone, not a fast 40-cone, which is fine. But, you just wonder how much of that, if any, hopefully none. But, I wonder if he lost any, if he's going to get it back right away. And you have Ridley, the second-year player. He had a lot of touchdowns for Andy as a rookie. But, Julio draws so much coverage. Hooper is really good, too. And Matt Ryan, they run an elite offense. So I feel like Ridley is a up-and-coming player. He can do really well. I prefer Ridley quite a bit, actually.
You know what's funny about that is if you would have asked me this question at this point last year, I would have been all about Kupp over Ridley. But I'm going to say Ridley this year. And the reason for this is, part of the reason is, I don't think he gets the touchdowns that he did last year, Dave, in Ridley. I also don't think Austin Hooper catches 70 falls again. And I think Ridley's yardage and receptions actually go up. So what he lacks in touchdowns, I think he actually will make up for in the counting categories. And so I think that, Ridley, to get him at that 5-6 turn is a pretty good value right now. I've seen some pretty talented high-stakes drafters. If they grab, two or sometimes three running backs early or two running backs on a tight end, they're getting Ridley as their second receiver. So people smarter than me are grabbing him at that spot, and I've seen it multiple times.
I'd rather get him as my third, but yeah, I agree.
Or
fourth. But that's just the way I'm going to be drafted.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So we're both definitely on Ridley here. Let's go to Chad in Princeton, New Jersey. I'm drafting in my first football guys draft next week and don't want to embarrass myself. What's the one mistake you see a lot of noobs like me making their first time drafting in this contest? Thanks, dudes. That's Chad in Princeton, New Jersey. Can I go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
One of the things that we talk about on the show, especially in Pros versus Joes, is going with an early quarterback and an early tight end. If you want to take an early quarterback, that's fine. That's not something I'm going to do. To channel Baker Boy, I need the extra player. I can't take a quarterback that early because I need the extra player, the extra back, the extra receiver, whatever. But if you want to take Patrick Mahomes early, Deshaun Watson, Baker Mayfield, whoever it may be, fine, go ahead. But don't also take an early tight end. Don't go Ertz and Mahomes. Don't go Deshaun Watson and Kittle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's – it can work. But by and large, I really have not seen that strategy have a high success rate. So I would say that's probably the biggest mistake. Just load up on those backs, load up on those receivers. You get value on tight end, great. You get value on quarterback, great. But just make sure you're not soaking two of your premium picks into both of those positions.
Yeah, that's really good, actually. The thing I would say that I see, and this is probably about half of the drafters in every draft. So I think it's like 50% of drafters take too many running backs, in my opinion, and sacrifice receiver.
As a whole?
Yeah, I just feel like, they're through eight rounds. So they're eight rounds in, and they've got four or five running backs sometimes and, like, a tight end and two receivers. I'm like, what in the hell have you done to your team?
Yeah.
And the reason is because running backs fall off so much that it's just very, very unlikely that you're going to get four elite running backs that are going to be anchoring your team the whole time. You need receivers. You need receiver depth, and you need to have receivers for bye weeks and everything like that. I just feel like if you can get quality receivers more easily, you can get quality running backs. So, I mean, you can maybe – even if you're a running back, fine. No problem. But then don't take a running back in the fourth after you take one receiver. And then don't take one in the sixth. You know, and this happens all the time. Four running backs and two receivers. I think immediately that your team is almost for sure going to be shit.
Yeah.
And it almost always is. I'm sorry. I feel like if you're 3-3, fine or whatever, but you have to have quality receivers, and they do fall off in that if you don't have one in the top 15 drafted, it's just not that often that you don't get any Tyler Boyd all the time coming off waivers. It's not that frequent. And if there is, it's like 1 year, and only one person in the league is going
to
get it.
That's a great point. To channel what I've been seeing commissioning a lot of these high-stakes drafts, I've seen a lot of talented players who've won, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars where they will just pepper their team with receivers early, maybe one running back early and a bunch of receivers, or maybe you get a tight end in there, and then they'll just hammer those running backs in the mid-round. And you talk about how hard it is to pick a receiver up off the waiver wire. There is, I don't want to say a bajillion, but there's a lot of difference makers that you can get off the waiver wire at running back. Or if you're not getting them off the waiver wire, you're getting them in the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th round or whatever. And all the, again, these guys just need an opportunity. And if they get the opportunity, they can really take advantage of it. And with as messed up as these running backs get, as banged up as they get, as hurt as they get, it can be a revolving door. And you don't necessarily need a one running back. You need to hit on like a James Conner like cheat code like that happened last year. You don't necessarily need that. That's pretty rare. But what's not rare is getting a guy, okay, let's use your example, like Ronald Jones, where he's great for 3 or 4 weeks. You can use him. Devin Singletary, he's great for 3 or 4 weeks. You can use him. You know, I think Sigmund Bloom actually talks about this. Is you're just looking for pockets of or windows is what he calls it, windows throughout the fantasy season. And you're just trying to get guys that can fill the void in those windows, get you through that week, get you to the next week, keep putting you in a better position for the playoffs. And then, when you get there, hopefully you're loaded for bear. Dave Scioto in the chat room also says, don't rainbow. That's his big thing, where you start off with a running back, receiver, tight end, quarterback in the first four rounds. I've seen that a lot. It's again.
Yeah, I don't want 3 of the 4, but once you go with the quarterback, okay, it's not much.
It gets really bad when you go 5 and draft the defense in the 5th round.
But here's another one, actually, that I'm going to say. Unless you're getting exquisite value on your second tight end, don't be a dickhead and take 2 tight ends in the first, 5 rounds. You know, someone will take, let's say, Kelsey, or they'll take Ertz, and then they'll get cute, and they'll take, O.J. Howard or Hunter Henry.
Right.
And, the 4th. I'm like, okay, that, again, fine, you can do that. But, I mean, most, Howard or Henry is going to have to be a top 4 tight end. And now you've sacrificed running back and receiver just to be that person and do that. Unless it's a value. Sometimes you can get, let's say, Henry falls to, the late 5th or something like that. Well, fine, good job. You got that value.
Right.
Pick them up. But don't take them at their ADP when you've already taken a tight end. I just feel like you're overexerting yourself with the tight end premium, and now you're missing out on the other positions that are also very important.
And I'll say this, too. I mean, you know, we talked about last couple of years, tight end was a wasteland day. Like it gets really rough unless you're one of the elite ones. So you're taking a pretty big chance of these guys once the top 3 are off the board. You're taking a pretty big chance if you're going to draft, you know, Henry or Howard or Engram, you know, early, because they've really got to hit. And if they don't hit, you're going to be chasing those points most of the season.
Well, I think those three guys, I think the top 3 are, you have the tier 1 is Kelsey, tier 2 is Ertz and Kittle, and then tier 3 is pretty much Ingram, Howard, and Henry. I do believe in trying to get one of those 6. I also like Jared Cook and Vance McDonald and Hooper actually as the fallback. But after that, then it does get dicey. You're in the Mark Andrews.
I would still put Andrews in that.
Yeah, but he's still a second year guy needs to break up. But I hear what you're saying. If I'm taking Andrews, I really want to get Andrews with Jimmy Graham or Andrews with Reed or Andrews with Herndon. And make sure I'm hitting that second tight end. Then I want to get a second one pretty early because I don't feel all that comfortable about it.
Andrews and Kyle Rudolph?
Oh, yeah, that'd be okay. Yeah. And Ebron, I know a lot of people are off Ebron, and I kind of am a little bit to that extent. But, I mean, he did catch a touchdown again right away in preseason. And he's a decent ball player. And sometimes he still falls. So, you know, I haven't gotten a lot of Ebron, but I believe in him. I think he's still a decent player.
You know who's going right next to him in ADP right now? Would you rather have Eric Ebron or would you rather have David Njoku?
Oh, yeah, Njoku is another player. God, that is kind of
I'd rather have Njoku.
Yeah, I guess Njoku.
The thing is that Jack Doyle has this thing with his hip again this year, then Ebron is like, you know, lightning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Final question on the tight ends. We got to move on to. We have a Keenan Allen question here. You talked about You talked about tier two with the tight ends Kittle and Ertz. Do you have a preference between those two? If you know you're going to take a tight end and both of them on the board, which one are you taking first?
I'm probably still leaning Ertz, even though everyone's saying he's not going to give any targets and Goddard's going to get all this stuff he's going to take away from him. I'm still leaning Ertz. Even if he loses like 20, 30 targets, he's still going to do really well.
That's my whole thing, too. Kittle has actually leapfrogged Ertz in FFPC ADP going up to 209. Ertz has fallen to the 212. But I think the hate has gone too far on Zach Ertz, and I would take him over George Kittle.
You know, it's interesting in Kentucky because it's not tight end premium and it's 3RR. You know, my mind has to think a little bit differently now because I'm so used to valuing tight ends so highly.
Right, yeah.
And so I have to make sure I don't, you know, botch that and draft one of them too high.
I should put five on you having at least two teams this weekend where you have either three quarterbacks or three tight ends. Because I feel like that's going to happen in at least two of your drafts.
Well, in the best ball, or the draft masters. Really.
Well, no, but I'm excluding that, like for the big pay.
Three or three?
Yeah, three or three in at least two drafts.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Okay, possible. All right, well, that's good.
I wouldn't even bet against it.
Dave Scioto also chiming in. It's not bulky with working that someone won pros versus Joes with one tight end. Yeah, as long as we're on the subject. Roto experts Tim McCullough won pros versus Joes.
I guess you put a quarter in a tip jar every time you say that.
It was like 2014. He only drafted Antonio Gates, won the whole thing. Congratulations.
And then Don Metter won the 2009 FFPC main event with Dante Rosario.
Yeah.
Bring that up too.
The venerable Carolina Panthers also ran, was his starting tight end as he won the FFPC main event.
I'll say, I don't think you're going to win a 2000 team main event with Dante Rosario.
Dave, who is this year's Dante Rosario? Let me ask you that.
I'm sure I could dig up a bunch of them.
I think that's the question that everybody wants to know tonight. Tyler Croft, Dave?
If you've been watching the Hard Knocks, I really do like Darren Waller. I think he's a good sleeper. I think other people are paying attention to him, but he looks good.
Yeah, I walked in the showroom tonight. Farrell Elliott, like the first words I heard come out of his mouth were Darren Waller talking about something. So
I didn't know about his abuse. I didn't know about the
drug. I didn't realize that either.
And so like when he brought that up, I'm like, okay, you know what? That makes a whole lot of sense. And he looks like a good athlete. He looks like a clean-cut, good kid. And best luck to him as well.
Yeah, I hope he does too. And Darren Waller at the 14.08 for a third tight end in an FFPC format is music to my ears. Let's go to Jared in Dunwoody, Georgia. What's up, Dave and Balky? Are you dropping Keenan Allen now that we know his ankle is going to keep him out of the until the regular season? Out of the regular season. God, I hope not. Out until the start of the regular season. Jared, thank you for the email. Dave, Keenan Allen, we kind of talked about him a little bit earlier in reference to another question, but he is going in the 303 right now. He has fallen behind Juju Smith-Schuster, Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, still going ahead of the Vikings receivers and T.Y. Hilton. Sound like a good spot for him there at the beginning of the third round? Because I think that's pretty good value for him. I'm not too concerned with this ankle, even though it is Keenan Allen.
You know, I might look at taking Hilton and Jared's name with Elon over, actually. Keenan Allen, he's a nice player and everything, but he's never, what is he, like, Mr. Six touchdowns every year. He never catches, has he ever caught 10 touchdowns? No, never. I can almost guarantee he's never caught 10. Maybe he has in college or whatever, but.
I don't even think he did that.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I think that it's a little bit of a downgrade.
His rookie year actually was a season high for touchdowns. He had eight.
Eight.
Career, eight, four, four, and then the injury year, and then 6-6.
Yeah, I know. That's just not so great, actually. I know he's a good ball player and everything like that, but I might move him down.
Well, I think the reason people love him so much is 2017, 102 catches for 1,400 yards. Last year, 97 catches for 1,200 yards. You know, you're drafting him on a volume basis.
He's always had injury issues, and they're showing up again this year. I like Allen, but he does always get hurt.
He
does frequently get hurt, not always.
27 years old. Boy, look at that receding hairline. Can you see this? Look at that receding hairline on Keenan Allen.
Yeah, he looks like...
That's like Rashad Perriman stuff.
Dang it, you already made my joke.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Yeah, he needs to take a page out of Rashad Perriman's book and just shave that off. That is, that's rough. I should talk. Dude, let me tell you something about my hair. So you know that Hims thing?
Well, you know what it is? It's like you put the headphones over your head.
Well, yeah, that's genius. I got to tell you something about that. I'm going to tell you about the front, quick story about the front head of my, front part of my head and the back part of my head. I get that Hims stuff, you know, the male.
Yeah, the Hims, so you can get a Harlem?
No, not that. I don't get the ED stuff, but I do the hair stuff.
Why not? If they're going to send you a package, why not?
No, because you got to pay extra for that. No.
You know, recreationally, that stuff's quite impressive.
What?
Reader, the listeners, check it out.
It gets solid. Gets the endorsement from the Dizzle. So
you may not need it, but it's good stuff.
The hymns in my shower, the shampoo I use, I grab it to wash my hair, and there's strands of my hair stuck to the bottle. That is the most depressing thing. No, it's not. And I can tell, like, my hairline is receding. It's bad. And then the back of my head, now here's the other thing. I'll just spoil, you know, some people know this, some people don't. Genuineformen.com is where I go for this. It's like a shaker, like a salt and pepper shaker that's full of hair fibers that cling to my hair. And I put that on
the... I feel like this is more embarrassing than talking about the recreational...
Normally, I wouldn't tell this story, but I'm going to tell it because everybody's going to see this weekend. They were sold out. I normally get medium brown. They're sold out of it, so I switched to dark brown. They're sold out of that, so I had to go with light brown. And it's like almost blonde. I look like some...
Oh, why didn't you go with black? People would have thought you were Jewish.
Yeah, well, yeah, that could work. But honestly, like, I'm going to walk in Kentucky here, and people are going to say, I swear to God, I saw that guy as an extra in the Miami Vice remake. Like, that's how bad it looks. It's not good.
I see what you're saying a little bit.
Yeah, isn't it? Here, look at it. Look at it once. Do you see it?
It's really not that bad.
God, I was looking at it when I was
really,
putting it on in the hotel room.
Nobody really looked.
Terrible. Nobody look at my hair this weekend. Look at my eyes. I'm right here. Rich in Cincinnati, who represents the better value in drafts right now, DJ Moore or his teammate Curtis Samuel. DJ Moore, Dave, we're going to talk about these guys shortly. DJ Moore going at the 601. Curtis Samuel has ascended all the way up to the 804. Who would you rather have?
Hang on, so 601, what is this? What are you?
FFPC Classic drafts over the last 2 days. This is a sample size of 18 drafts. And Samuel has moved up there.
That is really moving up for Samuel. I was going to say Samuel, but at that price, I would say DJ Moore.
I'm on board. Let's say I'm going to put you in a hypothetical situation, give you a totally unfair question. You can only have one. You can only have one. It's Moore?
Oh, yeah, I would take Moore.
And would you consider, if you took Moore in the sixth and Curtis Samuel's there in the eighth, would you consider Samuel?
I would, actually.
Okay. Best ball for sure, obviously. And we already talked about the Cam Newton thing. That's not really affecting us at all. All right, you know what is affecting us at all, and it's what everybody's been waiting for this entire program. the FFPC Ascendant announcement. You and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago is when we sort of started zeroing in on this. And I'm not going to make the argument here. I'm going to let you make it because you probably are going to hit on points that I forgot about. But we are officially scrapping the FFPC Ascendant announcement this year, and Dizzle's going to tell you why.
Well, you know, the reason why is it gets annoying because Bobby always have all these rules. You're like, well, this is a guy that we
But just, you're blaming it on me.
Yeah. This is a guy that, you know, people were drafting originally at blah, blah, blah point, and now he's moving up, and for main events, he's going to be drafted at a higher point, and, you know, he had all these rules. So pretty much, screw the rules. We'll just decide someone we like.
Exactly. So we decided we were going to come up with an announcement for you. We don't want to leave you hanging. We appreciate all of you listening each and every week. We wanted to bring you somebody that is going to actually help you in drafts, somebody that you should be targeting, somebody that the Dizzle and Balky and the HSF at Bauer are endorsing.
I have a name. I have a better name for it than what you do.
Should I reveal what I said?
Sure.
So this so we're calling, or we were going to call
you,
it
you were gonna,
going to call it the candidate because this is the HSFF Hour endorsement.
Yeah.
We are officially not calling it the candidate.
Let's talk about that first. Right?
Okay.
You know what I'm at, too, right? I think we should call him like the hype guy.
The hype guy. I like that. The hype man?
Yeah. No.
Not the hype man? I like the hype man. The hype guy?
Hype man is tough to say. You have to pause before Mike.
Hype guy? Hype guy, hype man. Yeah, because then it's like hype man.
Hype man.
Yeah.
Hey, hype man.
All right, the hype guy. So, now, and I don't want to make it seem like this is just the guy that's getting all the hype. You guys are drafting right now. This is the guy that we want to hype, the guy that's not getting enough hype.
Well,
and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
There could be more. I don't know.
Well, if somebody comes up, they come up. But we have 5 names we're going to talk about right now, in no particular order, or maybe alphabetical. Tyler Boyd at the 5-1-2. AJ Green is out. Tyler Boyd is going to get a ton of volume this year, but worth mentioning, Dave, that Boyd was actually more successful when A.J. Green was on the field last year.
He was.
So what do you project for Boyd this year, how much can we hype him up based on his situation?
Yeah, I think you can move him up, but I mean, he's going to 5'12". He's already kind of moved himself pretty high. I like him quite a bit. He's a talented player. He actually had a high phenom score coming out of college. People kind of forgot about him, and then third year he emerged again, and I think he's going to have a fantastic season. I don't know if he'd be my choice for hype, but
okay.
He's a good player for sure.
He's on the spectrum.
Yeah.
Guy who's going two picks ahead of him and a guy we just talked about.
Well, you just have the 601 for DJ Moore, but that's all right.
Can I reveal something here?
Oh, yeah.
The hype guy, we're using football guys in ADP. Normally, that's not something I'm going to reveal on the show, but for these five players, or at least three of them, this football guy, DJ Moore, 5'10", or 601, however you want to slice it.
Yeah.
I like him quite a bit more than Tyler Boyd. I think he's in for a massive season. I plan on getting him in a lot of drafts this weekend.
I agree. Yes, I think he's definitely in the mix here.
It's going to be very difficult for me to pick a guy other than DJ Moore, and I'll leave it at that. We'll go through the other three. Here's a guy that I think you could easily pick over, and emphasis on you could easily pick over DJ Moore, because I am definitely not as on board with him as you are. I probably will end up with him in at least one league this weekend. But Kyler Murray, the quarterback from Arizona, the 9-10 is where he's going right now. He's fallen, Dave.
I know, and I think he's fallen because he had a bad week too, which is great. I know that the protection was terrible against the Raiders. He didn't look all that good. He didn't complete many passes. But again, if this was a regular season game, I think their offense would be – they have all the players out there. You know, Isabella played in the fourth quarter. I really truly believe, and maybe I'm wrong, I do believe that Isabella and Keyshawn Johnson are going to be playing the 3 and 4 receiver sets. I think you have Fitz, Christian Kirk, Isabella, Keyshawn Johnson, those four.
Don't forget about my boy, Michael Crabtree, baby.
Anyway, he failed the physical. I thought he didn't.
No. They were going to agree on a deal a couple of weeks ago. They couldn't come to terms, but then they did come to terms this couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Hold on, real quick. What's the percentage chance Michael Crabtree makes the team?
I haven't really talked.
Okay, that's fine. So he's irrelevant for you in fantasy.
So then Gunther Cunningham with the Raiders was throwing all these blitzes at him, and Murray in free season is not going to go running around because it's not the regular season. But if it was the regular season, he probably would have maybe even gotten safety like he did. But also maybe he would have had a 35 or 50 yard run. Maybe he would have had an 80 yard run. So you got to keep that in mind. I think Kyler Murray will have a similar or even better, which is tough to say, season that Cam Newton has a rookie, is an unbelievable rookie.
I thought you were going to say Mahomes. I'm like, God, don't do that.
Well, Mahomes was not a rookie. He was a sophomore. So
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting about that. He started those last two games in 2017. What was I going to say about Kyle? Oh, did you notice the conversation on Hard Knocks between Antonio Brown and Kyler Murray?
I saw them talking. I didn't really hear what they said.
Kyler Murray said, you know, they hugged or whatever.
Yeah.
And he said to Antonio Brown, he's like, "Why'd y'all bring the house on me, bro?"
Oh, no.
Like, as in, like, blitzing him all the time.
Oh, that's
like,
what he said.
Yeah,
oh,
he said
that
to Brown. And Brown said, like, "Look, man, that's what they're going to do to you." And, you can tell Murray was kind of miffed, but he didn't seem all that, like, he seemed annoyed that he had to deal with it. He did not seem overwhelmed. This is what I got to face every week. I have a feeling that Cliff Kingsbury and company, there was a lot of stuff that they had not installed or was installed and they chose not to use against the Raiders. Because they didn't want to blow anything that they want to reveal in the regular season. Okay, moving on. Let's talk about Miles Sanders, Dave, because this is a guy that has been shooting up draft boards. He is getting plenty of hype. Goes up to the 601 now. A perfect, in my opinion, zero RB running back. A guy who could be a potential league winner. I'm going to butcher this. There was a tweet from one of the Eagles beat reporters, and I want to say it was Sheil Kapadia, but I could be wrong, but I think it was Sheil Kapadia that said, as long as – it was sort of like an underhanded compliment. As long as ball protection and pass protection aren't concerns for the Eagles, Miles Sanders is going to be the number one running back here pretty quickly.
Man,
and
rough.
Nobody kind of like called –
that's rough.
Nobody said anything about that. You know what I mean?
That is important, actually.
That's not exactly a compliment, you know?
Right.
Showing that, like, look, Sanders has all the tools, but he's got to hold on to the ball, something that he had problems with at Penn State, and he's got to be able to pass protect, something, again, that he had problems with at Penn State. But the fact that they invested this pick in him, and when the Eagles really don't have a good answer at running back other than Jordan Howard, I think Sanders could be a league winner. I'm not necessarily certain that he will be a league winner, but we shall see what happens on there. just to bring everybody behind the curtain right now, one Drew Miceli has come back here to say hello.
I don't drink whatever this is.
What is it? Drew, what is it?
Woodford Reserve.
Oh, it's Woodford Reserve bourbon. No, why? No, just come on. Just,
I don't drink straight bourbon, dude.
It's good stuff, man.
I appreciate the offer, but
that's gonna taste.
Have we met before? Have I ever? Have you ever seen me drinking straight liquor?
Most nights we never know what we're drinking.
All right.
Maybe I'll keep it and mix it with something.
Woodford
Reserve and diet, right?
That I've had that before. It's thank you, Drew Miceli, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. That's actually very generous.
Here's all my insight,
okay.
What players do you like?
Jam Ricky Vaughn popping by here, making his debut in Kentucky this weekend. Good stuff from him. Bringing. We're getting bourbon delivered behind the curtain. See, this is what the rock stars get. They get the booze delivered behind the scenes.
Yeah.
All right, I kind of gave my opinion on Miles Sanders. Boy, it's stinging my nostrils.
Yeah,
there's
so much
bourbon on the table right
now.
Miles Sanders, your thoughts on him?
Well, he's an interesting player because I know that we have this bet where I mistakenly bought Jordan Howard out of scrum. But I've really come around on Miles Sanders. I feel like if you're being a really optimistic person, you could look at him as Adrian Peterson, his rookie season, when he was going in the fourth round, I believe, and he was behind. Who's the running back on the team at the time? Chester Taylor. Yeah, Chester Taylor. So, and then he went out and crushed it. I think, you know, I know that Philly's always using the RBBC, and he's got these so-called issues, but the players in front of him are not that great. I think Sanders is actually a really talented back, and I think that there's a strong possibility that he really crushes his draft position. He could be one of those players that next year is going in the first round of drafts, right?
Yeah, he totally could be.
And so, and the next player we're going to talk about is the same thing. So, if you can get one of those guys, and where is he going? Where is he? 15?
Miles Sanders, 601.
Yeah, 601. And he might be, he's probably going like around that same spot here in Kentucky. I think that you got to take a shot at him.
Let me do a quick would you rather. These guys are all going ahead of Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders or Mark Ingram?
I might look at Sanders over Ingram.
I think I'm agreeing with you. Miles Sanders or James White?
In a national tournament. Sanders.
I agree. Miles Sanders or Tevin Coleman?
Sanders.
I agree. And Sanders is going behind all those guys right now.
Yeah, my personal kind of take.
All right, final candidate. Candidate, there you go. That we're going to talk about for the hype guy. Hype guy.
Candidate.
God, I'm going to butcher this. 409 is where he's going. David Montgomery, the starting running back for the Chicago Bears, a guy who has moved up draft boards, no question. Could actually move up even further, Dave, as we're hearing more love for Montgomery from the coaching staff and maybe wanting to take away opportunities for Tariq Cohen, who may not get the same amount of workload that he did in 2018.
Yeah, I feel like the team, if they can't tell you that they love David Montgomery anymore, they're sending out, using the smoke signals. They're sending out every single possible sign that they love this guy. He looked good in preseason. He, unlike Sanders, doesn't have to worry as much, I guess, about pass blocking and all that stuff. He's a complete back from what they're saying. So I think Montgomery has a decent possibility as well, and he's another player that, with a strong rookie season, could be going in the first round next year. So he could totally destroy his draft spot.
All right, it's time to vote on this. Here's how I think we should do it, and feel free to disagree with me. If I'm going to rank these guys, Dave, fifth on this list is Tyler Boyd.
So why don't you rank them privately, or are we not on time?
We can rank them privately. That's fine. Are you gonna rank them privately right now?
Oh, sure.
All right. So I'm gonna make my rankings here, and we'll see how they match up with yours. And I am done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. For fifth, I have Tyler Boyd. Just revealed it.
Me too.
Okay. For fourth, I have Kyler Murray.
Me too.
For third, I have David Montgomery.
Me too.
For second, I have Miles Sanders.
Me too.
Are you cheating off me?
No.
The hype man this year, the hype guy is officially DJ Moore.
Wow, that's crazy.
For the high stakes fantasy football. That's pretty crazy, yeah. Well, at least we're in lockstep with something.
We're in cahoots.
We are in cahoots. Were you cheating off me?
No,
I feel like you were. You're staring at my paper.
I don't cheat off you nor on you, Bob.
Yeah, Sam. I know you've cheated on me.
You cheat on me all the time with your other stupid shows that you do.
Hey, listen.
You
got to give the people what they want. I am not a monogamous podcast host.
Yeah, you are. You're all over the place.
Yeah, I am.
Giving it out all over.
I got to get tested, actually. I really should. No question, especially after this weekend.
That's funny.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for our show this week. I want to thank Dave Gerzak, the FFPC, Rob. I'm going to give a shout-out to Bryce, even though I know he did not do anything for tonight's broadcast, but normally he does. And to you for listening to tonight's live broadcast at the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship here in the shadows of Louisville, Kentucky.
We are off next week for the Football Guys Draftathon. Dave and I will be hard at work with that. Want to invite you to jump in that. I just checked today. I think the Football Guys, it's filling up faster than ever. I think it's about
2,400.
It's about three quarters full right now. So make sure you're getting in those leagues. And then, of course, we will be at the live events at Planet Hollywood the following week for the FFPC. So no show then. We will return live on Friday the 13th of September. That is when we will be live again. Get in on those main events. We have, Dave, we want to talk about that 11 o'clock main event. How many spots? We still have 10 left or 7. What is it down to right now?
Here we are down to.
Big drum roll here.
Down to.
Do we need to have the facilities need to get connected? Okay, so get in on that tonight at 11 o'clock. Take your shot at $500,000. Remember to add on other teams for $1,500 and average that cost down. You never know which one could be the $500,000 winner. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Your weekend officially starts now.
This has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com that was broadcast live and heard around the world. Eric and Dave will be back next week with more analysis, interviews, and advice from a guest much smarter than they are. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you again next week. We're on a steam explorer, even more so if we on tour. Me and E explore the country, wondering about the evening before. Trying to explain where the time went, while other rappers find a studio to grind in.
Bourbon City Ballers in the chat room says, see you tomorrow. He'll be out here. This is Kevin Williamson, who's going to be out here tomorrow.
Okay.
And he also says, save some damn bourbon.
All right, Kevin, I'll save this for you.
Just keep that overnight. We'll age it even further. Dave's going to have an oak cask. He's going to put it in his hotel room tonight, and that'll be fresh-ish tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hop in that FFPC main event. Jump in that Football Guys Draftathon, or jump in the Football Guys Draft tonight. And we will see you in Vegas. Talk to you in a few weeks.